crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he had said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So this is a story about deliverance from someone who was in bondage to something that he couldn't control, he couldn't escape from, something that hurt, was continually hurting him. And yet when Jesus came, Jesus had authority over what was controlling this man. Amen. So it's an account of hope and of power of Christ and of freedom. So in the first couple verses, it says that he came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and that when he came out of this ship, immediately there was this man who met him. Now, as reference, on their way over, this was when Jesus had calmed the storm, and he was sleeping in the boat, and he spoke, and the wind and the waves calmed. That was showing to his disciples Jesus' power over nature and over the world. Then when he came here, Jesus showed his power over the spiritual wickedness, not only over the physical creation, but over the spiritual world as well here.
Amen.
When it says that immediately this man met him, I wondered, did this man meet every boat that came across? I don't know. That doesn't seem likely to me. We know that Jesus had an appointment with this man. You know, he had planned it. It wasn't just happenstance that this man was here. I was thinking about how Jesus would have known that there would be the storm when they were going across the sea. And why would he have to pick that specific time to go across Galilee? Well, he picked that time to go so that he could meet this man here when he got to the other side.
Amen.
And so I thought that sometimes there are storms or difficulties and you wonder, why did it have to happen like this? What? It seemed like maybe it would have been unlikely, and yet you end up with a very difficult situation. It could be that Jesus bringing the boat across so that you could meet up with someone who needs to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read the next three verses again and think about the condition that this man was in. So he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So this plucked asunder means torn apart. The chains were ripped apart by this man. He lived in the tombs. He didn't live with other people. Mm-hmm. He said he was in the tombs or in the mountains. And night and day he was restless. He couldn't sleep or rest. He was crying and injuring his own self. This is a picture of someone who's under control of something else. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have power over his own body and his own actions. And this is a picture of sin. Sin takes control of people. Jesus said that if you sin, you're a servant of sin. Mm-hmm. And it talked about the Israelites selling themselves for naught. Like I see it as when you sin that first time, you've sold yourself into sin. And all of a sudden, your sin is your master. Yeah. And it controls what you do. Mm-hmm. We can see that this man was a victim of these demons that were within him. I think we should be aware that when we see people who are doing evil things, that they too are controlled by demons. And it's not that they're not responsible for what they're doing, but sin is their master, and it's causing them to do these things. And I think that helps us not hate them, but to feel sorry for them and pity that they are slaves to sin and to Satan, who's causing them to do these evil, horrible things. And that reminds us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. These people are truly slaves. And in fact, each one of us was slaves to sin. And we couldn't get away from it. Here in this situation, it was very clear that there were supernatural forces at work. The fact that they chained him up and that he broke the chains and the fetters, this is power that the demons had worked in him, that he could just tear apart even these things that no one else would have been able to break. This is just showing how obvious it is that this man was under the control of some spiritual force. And then we also saw that people couldn't fix that situation. They tried. They tried, and it said he'd been often bound with fetters and chains. They tried all sorts of different ways to try to restrain his behavior. And so people can try all sorts of different ways to restrain sin and to keep, you know, to keep yourself from sinning or keep somebody else from sinning, make more laws or these men's techniques or methods to try to keep from sinning. And they cannot deliver people from slavery to sin.
That's right.
And occasionally they will help get somebody out of a certain sin, but it doesn't free them from sin as a whole. You know, they might move from, you know, addiction to something to mm-hmm. something else, but yeah. They're still a slave to sin if Jesus hasn't come to set them free.
Amen.
And we need to treat sin like it is, that it's something that we ourselves cannot overcome and can't be delivered from apart from Jesus. We also see here that this man was miserable. It says that he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. So he was crying out for, because he was in misery, as one would expect if you're being controlled by these demons. And it is God's blessing that those in sin are miserable themselves, and to make them, to hopefully people will then realize that they want to do something about this and that they want to get free, and that's when Jesus can come and heal them. And then it also says that he was cutting himself with stones. He was actually injuring himself. And sin injures the person who's committing the sin. Many times it injures other people too, but it definitely injures the person who's doing it. And it's Satan taking control and making you do something which is not for your own benefit. People who are enslaved to sin are hurting themselves. Then in verses 6 through 8, it says, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him," or bowed down before him, "and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.'" We see here that this is still the unclean spirit controlling the man here because of what he said. It was controlling what the man said. It was the demon speaking through him. But when he saw Jesus, he fell down, he bowed before Christ's feet. Even this powerful demon recognized Christ's authority. The demons believe and tremble. There is no demon who can stand before Jesus. Mm-hmm. And no matter how strong a sin seems, we know that Jesus can free anyone from any sin. Seems like the dynamic changed a lot when Jesus came, as far as the demons were concerned. It seems like the demons had a lot of freedom, and that they were working their will among the people and causing the people to be in bondage. And yet when Jesus came, it seems like things changed, not just for those who were cast out, but it seems like there was it seems like there was a different situation that Jesus, when Jesus came into the world. Mm-hmm. The demon asked Jesus not to torment him. Now in the Matthew passage, he talks about, "Do not torment us before the time." The demons know that eventually they will be tormented. They know that they're aware that they cannot win this fight against Christ. Here, these verses are just showing that Jesus is so far superior to any of these devils. And these demons were really just looking for more time. They didn't have any hope of escaping God's judgment. We know that the devils which torment any person here on earth will eventually be tormented themselves, mm-hmm. and that they will be punished for all the wickedness and the suffering that they've brought. And back to what I was saying earlier, those people who are under the control of Satan, God will judge Satan for what he has done to them and to his creation. Then in verse 9, it says, "And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away from out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea." We see some things about the spiritual realm here. We see that there were many demons. He said legion, which has the idea of a large number of soldiers. Mm-hmm. And we see it's not just a general spirit of evil, but that there are these individual beings, and there were many of them in this man. Mm-hmm. There's also, we see that different people may be possessed in different ways and to different extents. Some people had, most people it talked about a demon, and this one it talked about many demons. And for whatever that effect that has, it seems like some people are have been given more fully to Satan. And now I'm talking about sin. Like there are some people who are, seems like they're fully given over to Satan and his purposes. But here in this case, Jesus cast out the legion of demons. You know, it wasn't too many for Jesus. I'm not really sure why they asked him not to send them away out of the country. I don't know if they're asking him not to send him into judgment directly. But they wanted to go to the swine. But we see that the devils were beseeching Jesus. They didn't dare try to do something that Jesus didn't give them permission to do. Mm-hmm. This whole thing, you see the demons fully recognizing Jesus' power and calling him the Son of God. And that is something that we don't want to let the demons be farther along than we are. We want to recognize Jesus' power, Jesus' absolute power, and that he can change any situation for our good, and also that he has absolute authority over us too. So then when they went into the swine, the whole herd ran down and immediately ran down and was drowned in the sea. And these evil spirits bring death and destruction. That's what they are. That's who they are. And Satan himself he's there to steal and kill and destroy. And next time you're tempted with something, remember that this is what Satan does. The instant these demons entered into even the pigs, immediately they all died. And this is who Satan is. Don't trust anything that he says. He's lying to you. Whatever voices he puts in your mind that tells you that, you know, that disagrees with what God says, he is trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy you like he does to everything he touches. So don't believe him. Okay, so then verses 14 through 17, these people went and told it in the city and the country, and they came out to Jesus, and they said, "They see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind." And they were afraid, and they that saw it told it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. So immediately what happened was that the news traveled fast. This was a dramatic and obviously supernatural event here, and everybody heard about it, and they told about it. And in the same way, when we're saved, God changes us, and God gives us freedom. And it should be obvious to people that, you know, that we are no longer slaves to sin. You know, this, and when they came and they saw this man, I'm sure they almost wouldn't have recognized him. The fact that it was completely different. He was no longer under the control of this legion of devils. First of all, it says that he was sitting. And, you know, he was in the mountains and the tombs. Night and day, he is continually restless. He was never satisfied to be where he was. And sin never leaves us satisfied. And there's always the restlessness to want more or change. And when Jesus healed him and made him free, he could sit. He could wait and not have that continual restless. He was also clothed. You know, nakedness is associated with shame, and Jesus takes away the shame that's associated with our sin because he forgives that sin. This man was now acceptable. He had some honor and some dignity because Jesus took away what was controlling him. And then it also says that he was in his right mind. And when we come to God, you know, from sin, we're just blindly obeying sin and what it tells us to do. Just like this man didn't have any choice in the matter. The demons were controlling him and making him do whatever they wanted him to do. And yet now he has his mind. He can use his mind. And God gives us ability to use our mind to glorify God. Now we can seek and try to think about what's gonna glorify him the most. And we can use our spiritual mind to serve him now. Well, what happened then? Immediately they were afraid. It says they saw this wonderful thing that had happened to this man, that he was now free. And the first thing they thought about was fear. Yeah. It seems like they were afraid that Jesus would change what they were used to, that he would come and bring in something that would upset the apple cart, that this is something new and different. Well, he was. He would have. And he will for each one of us too. We have to recognize that Jesus is going to change things. Yes. But if they would have opened their eyes, they could have seen that this man, the change, was a freedom. It was change for the good of this man. Yes. And no matter what Jesus does, we know it is for our good. Mm-hmm. So then fear made them do something that really made no sense. Jesus brought this amazing blessing, and he could have done it for them too. He could have freed them from the things that they were in bondage to. But because of fear, they sent him away. They began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And fear is the opposite of faith. You know, we're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe. So the drawing back in fear is the opposite of believing who Jesus is. If they would have believed that Jesus is the Son of God, then they would have welcomed any change that he would bring about, knowing that it is good. We must not let fear keep us from receiving freedom from Christ. Mm-hmm. Fear of what might happen if we submit to what he says, if we obey him. Fear of that it might be difficult. Well, it will be difficult, but Jesus wants to free us and give us eternal life. And we also know that he will be there to give us grace. So then the last few verses are verses 18 through 20. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So this man was changed by Jesus. And when we're truly converted, we want to be with Jesus too. This man wanted to follow Jesus and be with him and learn from him and even suffer with him like the apostles. He wanted to be like the 12. And yet Jesus told him that his work was to stay here where he was. Now there were some people who were rejected because they wouldn't forsake all and follow Jesus. Those who wanted to keep still a tie with their own lives and be in control of some part of their own lives. And Jesus said, that's not acceptable. But here, this man was wanting to give up all and leave his hometown and follow Christ. But this man was in a position to reach people that other believers couldn't reach. He was in this place where, you know, he had this position. All his friends, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. His friends may not have had anybody else to share the truth with them. And we want to be open to however the Lord wants us to use us. And we do need to have the willingness to leave everything behind. That is necessary. But sometimes God doesn't. And sometimes maybe the glamorous position of being an apostle is not the position that God has given to us. But wherever we are, we're to testify of what Jesus has done. This man could testify because it had happened to him. He wasn't just relaying a message about somebody else who was freed. He himself was freed. And so when we ourselves have been forgiven by Christ and when we know him and we've been given the Spirit, we can testify of what the Lord has done for us. Now, the other apostles were not in this position, and so they didn't have the same testimony, and that was okay because, you know, whoever you are, God has saved us. And we can share what he's done for us. In this last verse, in 19, Jesus said, tell him how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And then in the next verse, it says he published how great things Jesus had done for him. Mm-hmm. And in Mark, the gospel, there's many references that talks about Jesus being the Son of God, and we see two of them here. One by the legion who said, Jesus, thou Son of God. And then here, he was telling them what things the Lord had done for him, and he was telling them what things Jesus had done for him, acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord. But what impacted me the most about this whole passage is the context around it. Now, in Mark 4:35, it says, "And that's in the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship." So they'd sent away the multitude on the other side, and they sailed across the sea here. And then in the very next verse, after it talks about him preaching what Jesus had done, it says, "And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him." So there were multitudes that Jesus was ministering to and healing on the one side. And he sent them all away. He sailed over, met this one guy, and delivered him. And then he sailed back, and there were the multitudes again. Jesus made a special trip for this one man. And it's Jesus doesn't value, he understands the value of things more than we do. And it wasn't wasted time to go and save one person. Jesus thought it was worth it to come across the whole sea and save this one person. So that is the kindness and the wisdom of Jesus to come across for one. So, all right, are there any comments on this passage?
Just a couple of thoughts. When you were talking about when the demons were cast out of the man, that he came into his right mind, that reminded me of Nebuchadnezzar. That when Nebuchadnezzar was out in the pasture for 7 years, he lifted his head up and acknowledged God. And then his senses came back to him. And when Jesus went into the other, went into the city, and the people told him to depart from us, it reminded me of the passage of when Jesus comes up and knocks on the door. If any man will let me in, he will come in and sup. Mm-hmm. These people did not let Jesus come into their homes, into their lives, so he departed from them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What a terrible testimony to this town, to this group of people, mm-hmm. rejecting Jesus after he cast out these demons out of this demon-possessed man. Like you said, sometimes it's easier to stay in your situation, to stay in your sinful, harmful situation, than because it's a norm to you, rather than get into something that you do not understand or you do not know. But everything, that's where belief comes in. That's where faith comes in. You got to believe what Jesus has for you is better than what you are at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not believe that. They would have rather had this wacko crazy man in their lives than have somebody who is of their right mind,
mm-hmm.
because they knew him at that point.
Yeah.
And people are like that in their sin. They truly are. They'd rather stay in their sin than have peace with God.
Seems like the power was scared of them. The power that he had. It's like, who is this among us that has this kind of power? And they just operated out of fear. And they saw this as kind of makes me think of they didn't want to go up to the mountain with Moses. They saw the power, and it's like, I don't want to enter in. And yet, we know that if we believe in his son, then we don't have to be afraid of that awesome power. When he comes back and we see this awesome power in the skies, how are we going to act? It's going to be a frightful thing, but to the ones that believe, we're at least expecting it. And
mm-hmm.
So, it's an awesome thing to have that power.
what you were saying about this man's position. Here he's breaking chains. They couldn't bind him. This is a scary kind of person to come running up to the boat. And I don't know, I would have been running the other direction, but Jesus said, come out of him immediately, and he fell down. So, but he was suffering. This man was in bondage. Mm-hmm. And was not free. And so many people are like this. They just seem like they're so wicked, but they're bound. They need to be free.
You can't control sin. They tried to control this man who was demon-possessed. You cannot control sin in your own life. You can't contain it. You can't tie it up, like what you brought that point out. You can't tie it up. You can't bind it. It has free course in your life to do as it will.
And then Jesus sent him to the back home, and he published throughout Decapolis. And then in chapter 7, Jesus went back to the Decapolis. Verse 31, and again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. So it was like Jesus sent him to prepare the way. He told all about Jesus, and then Jesus came back to that area.
It's not a lot like what the 70 did.
Mm-hmm.
Went ahead into the towns. Preached that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's coming soon. Interesting.
Okay, well, let's stand together and let's pray.